Hi, this is Chris, host of A Couple of Drips. Just before we start, I wanted to say a quick word about our subscribers' memberships. If you'd like to help support future episodes, you can subscribe to the show for a few pounds a month. This'll help fund production, coffee, and guest expenses. Simply click on the support button in the episode description. Cheers, and enjoy the show.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Settle in and turn it up. It's time for A Couple of Drips. Coffee, conversation, and occasional quips. Here's your host, Chris Granger.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of A Couple of Drips. My guest today is known locally as The Nag, but that's really not an insult. It's kind of a genuine nickname, but I'll let her explain it herself because that's much better. Please welcome, aka The Nag, Natalie Gibson. Hello, Natalie.
Hello,
how are you doing?
Chris. I'm good, thank you. Really good.
Lovely to have you on. So why do they call you The Nag? What's that about? I mean, that's not a name that a lot of people would like. It's nothing to do with horses, is it?
No, it's not. Well, it's actually my initials.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah, even my own mum asked me, why you call yourself Nag? Mum, you give me these initials.
Oh, yeah. That's mum's fault. Yeah.
But definitely. Initially, it was supposed to be Energy Fitness, as in NAG, energy.
Oh,
and then my
nice.
Ex-boss at the old leisure centre where it kept calling me The Nag and then did it in front of my clients. And then they kept doing it and it just got stuck.
Brilliant.
So there you go.
That's awesome. So, I mean, we had Dave Deakin on a few weeks ago talking about you, and that's how we got in touch, in fact, through Dave talking about that. So what is the Nag ideology, as it were? He was talking about Nag Camp. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Nag Camp, well, I've always wanted to run like basically a boot camp outside for years, but due to being full-time at my as a fitness instructor, I was restricted because you have to work weekends.
Yeah.
So I couldn't consistently run an outdoor class. So
yes.
When COVID happened, it was an opportunity to do it on Zoom at first.
Yeah.
And then basically I just pushed myself, well, you know what, once we're allowed outside, because we're allowed to exercise outside at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not indoors. And I thought, well, what better way to do it? And it's just stuck. Get people fit, strong, and just enjoying
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, because in lockdown we were all putting on pounds. I mean, I've definitely put some on, you know, that I could do with shedding. But so did you find it was popular? Did you find it had a good uptake?
Yeah, the thing with it, I found with especially the leisure centre I used to work at in Stone, my clients are amazing. They are very, very loyal to me, and they've followed me pretty much some of them since the old leisure centre, the old Westbridge.
Oh, really?
And then followed me crossed.
Fantastic.
To Stone. And then with online, I was like, right, guys, how do you want me to help you? Mm. And we just, you know, we work together to come up with it.
That's excellent. So what does it involve now? I hear you do morning videos and things like that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what it actually involves?
Yeah. So every morning I do stories, pretty much. It's to just give free information about health and fitness. Yeah. I like to cut out the bullshit for people.
Yeah.
As you know, and I just do it because I like it. At the end of the day, people don't come to a PT for information.
Yep.
You could Google that.
Yeah.
You know, you come to a PT because you want accountability.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So a bit of support, to be honest. No, you're on the right track to do it.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you recommend for a boy like me who's put on a few stone over lockdown and has just hit 50? I mean, what sort of thing? Because obviously, as a PT, I would imagine you come across a huge range of people of sizes, ages, abilities, so on and so forth. So what would you recommend as a starting point for someone like me?
Yeah. If it comes to being active is one of the main things, but do things that you actually like doing.
Yeah, right.
So if you don't like running, don't run.
Yeah.
If you don't like swimming, don't swim. If you like walking, go walking. Walk is the most underrated thing to do as an
activity. Absolutely, yeah.
And nutrition, I think people again complicate it.
Yeah.
A lot of people tend to like to snack in between meals. And I'm like, well, maybe 3 filling meals a day. Again, food that you actually enjoy.
Do you know what? I can vouch for that there because I am the worst person for kind of either snacking between meals or eating late at night when I don't need to eat.
Yeah,
and then, of course, you're going
sometimes.
To bed and the fat is sitting with you all night. I've stopped doing that recently, and I won't say the weight is dropping off, but it is that the combination of that with the walking, you know, definitely is helping. That's brilliant. Before it goes cold, shall we have a look at this coffee?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's eyeing us off. It's
yeah, I tell you what, it's absolutely staring at us.
All together now. 1, 2, 3, 4
Never gets old.
Nope.
So today's a little bit unusual because Nat, I bow down to her. She's the first person ever to turn up on the podcast with her own coffee, I have to say. Now, I'd already got a coffee for us to taste, but she's turned up with a coffee. So we're in the very privileged position today of doing a 2 coffee tasting. So which one do you want to do first, Nat? Do you want to do red or green first?
Let's do red.
Let's do red first. Okay, so red is at the back. Yep. We'll just reach for the coffee. Okay, so do you want to tell us a little bit about this before we try it, Nat?
Yeah. So it's Contact Coffee Company. This one's called Red On. They've got different flavours. Hence, Red On's to do with, apparently, I asked my friend who got me into this coffee. He's in the army. His name's Jake, and his friend runs Contact Coffee. So he introduced me to that.
Right,
and
okay.
Since then, we've gone halves on subscriptions.
Nice.
So, but yeah, it's...
So you can get this on subscription?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
I think they're in
it's
a lot
of fantastic,
shops
now. There'll be a picture on the episode description, but it's a red bag with a bullet on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that suggests it's going to be a strong coffee.
Yeah, it's strong.
To start with. Nice. I mean, we've had things on here before. We've talked about things. Chris Baxter, Guitar Luthier, and X-Army. Weapons expert actually was on, and he was talking about I'll try not to headbutt the mic, and he was on talking about Skull Crusher coffee.
I've heard of that.
I've not tried, but I hear it's lethal. But this, a coffee with a bullet on, I mean, that's definitely sending out
a
message,
win,
isn't it? So you say subscription, where just online,
just their website. If you literally search Contact Coffee, it'll come up at the top.
I'll put a link in the blurb.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Let's give it a go. I'm gonna do the annoying coffee git slurping.
Go for it.
Spraying it on the tonsils. It is a dark one. It is a heavy coffee, but it's very nice, actually. It's not bitter.
It's a nice aftertaste, I think.
Whenever you go and have a dark coffee, I think it's going to be bitter. Mm. You know,
it's not at all. This one
isn't. Very, very nice. I'm absolutely fascinated by that packet.
It's great, isn't it?
It's like it's kind of like a map with a bullet on it. It looks like if you were some kind of international assassin, this is the coffee.
The branding's amazing.
It's great, isn't it?
It's
I really like that. And this is ready ground.
Yeah.
And it's still incredibly fresh, actually. It's still very, very fresh.
It's definitely one of my favourites.
Because
I'm, as personal trainers, we love coffee.
Oh, okay.
Because we're up early in the morning.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, actually. My girlfriend Kelly's come up with some great questions for you. And one of the things was, I'm going to find the notes. I was going to do this a bit later, but seeing as you brought it out and the relationship, what are the effects on coffee of health, stamina, focus, etc.? And what's your view on coffee from a personal trainer's point of view?
I think like anything, if you do it in moderation, it could be fantastic for you.
Oh, okay.
You know, but there is a point where people have too much coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they recommend no more than 400 milligrams a day, but that could vary from person to person.
Oh, okay.
But it's brilliant for alertness.
Yeah.
If you're doing long distance or endurance sports, there is evidence that it helps enhance it.
Really?
They're not sure about weight training, but for me, if a placebo works, a placebo works. I feel quite pumped having a coffee before I work out.
Yeah.
From a psychological point of view as well, there is evidence growing now that it can reduce the risk of Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And Parkinson's as well.
Yeah.
So I'm all fluorite.
Yeah,
coffee,
I was
personally.
Told by a doctor once that it reduced the chances of bowel cancer
yes,
as well.
Yeah,
and like that.
Diabetes type 2, it can help. I think it's to do
wow.
with the insulin. I can't.
Wow.
I couldn't go if I went at two
yeah,
sides.
Yeah, because they put caffeine in paracetamol
yeah.
to make it more quickly
yeah.
absorbed into the
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of delivery method.
Absolutely,
yeah.
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 yeah. But no, it's fantastic
yeah.
for you. And the and I think more evidence will come out later on. I mean, even taking caffeine tablets is supposed to be quite
oh, really?
Effective.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
just prefer to drink it, personally.
Yeah. I'm not one for caffeine energy drinks, to be
no,
honest.
I'm
not.
No.
I like it's just too much sugar because whenever I drink fizzy drinks, I always drink the diet versions
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Because for years, I was just like, oh, it's too much sugar.
Yeah.
It makes your
yeah.
teeth feel sticky,
oh,
you know,
it's just,
kind of
yeah.
thing.
I prefer the diet ones personally
yeah.
for taste.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, a lot of people go on about aspartame or phenylalanine to
but
give it its proper name. But
tomatoes.
It's in just
it's
about
like...
everything. It's just
yeah.
about everything. And you know, anyone that's allergic, there's some babies can have an intolerance
yes.
to it, but only up until the age of puberty,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
it completely vanishes. Yeah. It's a weird thing, and that's what the heel prick test for babies
I've heard,
is.
Yeah.
yeah, so I don't know how we got onto phenylalanine, but there we go. I'm glad I did my vocal warm-ups before I had to say phenylalanine.
You said it really well, though.
Thank you.
I can't
Thank
say
you.
It.
Aspartame. Yeah. Sweetener, right.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So this is a speciality Indian Robusta, which is really unusual because do you know about a Robusta and an Arabica? Do you know the differences?
I did hear a bit on the podcast with Dave.
Yeah.
But if you want to remind me, go for it.
Okay, right. Most coffee that's kind of posh coffee or most coffee we drink is based on Arabica. Arabica is coffee that needs to grow above sort of 2,000 meters. It's kind of light and sweet, and it's more difficult to grow. You can't just grow it on your windowsill. Robusta tends to be a bit looked down its nose at by the coffee community. Having said that, it is essential. It's essential because about 20% of Robusta is mixed in with most Arabica to get your espresso coffees or your lattes, your cappuccinos. Robusta is tend to be used as an ingredient in other coffees. Now, some Robustas are horrendous. I did James Hoffman, who's a big coffee broadcaster, I'll say, because he's on YouTube and he's got a podcast and everything. He did a thing called World's Biggest Coffee Tasting a few years ago, and a few people that I know got involved. And sample D was Robusta, and it was pure Robusta, and it was like drinking burnt tires and metal filings. It was the most horrendous flavor I've ever had. But if you mix Robusta in with other things, it can be. Now, obviously, this, because it's saying it's a specialty Robusta, is not a Robusta that tastes like that. But if you told me that this was an Arabica, I wouldn't have known. I mean,
yeah.
Robusta you can grow on your ruddy windowsill,
yeah.
you know. I mean, it's so hardy kind of thing. By the way, you'll never grow enough on your windowsill to actually make a single cup of coffee. But yeah, so I'm quite surprised when it says that. I'm just going to have a look at the notes. Single origin, 100% Robusta from Southwest India. That should be way more bitter. I can see it's high in caffeine because Robusta is higher in caffeine.
Mm.
But I'm totally blown away by that as a Robusta. Who in their right mind would sell a Robusta as a single source without mixing it with any Arabica? But a lot of interesting. I just have a moan here, just a second. Starbucks and Costa recently have started doing an espresso blend that is 100% Arabica. Don't do that, because you need a little bit of Robusta to give it that kind of, to give it the good crema on top of the coffee when you make an espresso.
It's all about
to give it that. And they're just 100% Arabica. And you're not, no, you're not supposed to make espresso with Arabica. You're supposed to make it with a blend. That's the whole point. And then recently I went in Starbucks, would you like to try a single origin espresso? No, single origin is for pour or drip over. You're supposed to use a blend for espresso-based drink. Sorry, I have a little bit of a rant there.
Yeah, it reminds
me
of that.
Yeah.
It's like when people moan about it's too much fat and sugar in something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, and they go, oh, sugar's bad for you, fat's bad for you. And I'm like, no.
No.
They wouldn't eat them on their own, but you combine them.
Yeah.
They taste fantastic.
Yeah. They taste incredible,
yeah.
And it's everything in moderation,
yeah.
isn't it?
You're not going to eat a bag of sugar,
yeah.
but you'll eat a cake.
Sugar's only bad if you don't burn it off.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, if you're excessing the energy,
yeah,
and you're
absolutely.
Not eating a whole cake as your calories
absolutely.
For the day.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's I learned a few years ago, because I lost a lot of weight a few years ago, and I put it all back on, unfortunately, but I lost a lot of weight, and I realised that dieting on its own is, and it's not dieting, it's a lifestyle change, because hop on, hop off diets don't work. But lifestyle change on its own doesn't work. Yeah, part of the change has to be doing the exercise, because the calories won't just drop off by eating less. You've actually got to exercise more as well. It's a combination.
It changes your mindset. People, there is evidence that people who work out and exercise, they're more to make better decisions across the day. Because it's only 1 hour a day you're going to exercise maximum, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not going to burn all your calories. It's the other 23 hours of the day.
Yeah.
So a lot, I run online groups as well. And we encourage them to do something active, even just walking every day, hitting steps, because they end up making better decisions, like eating better. They end up not binging as much. You know, we also say, you know, if you want a slice of cake every other day, have a slice of cake. That's fine, as long as you're eating your meals and
every other day.
Yeah.
Not two per day.
Well, you know, depends on what cake it is.
I think I've seen the root of my problem there, definitely. Every other day.
Don't worry, I'm personally, I'll freaking love cake.
Every other day. Yeah, I'm going to have to work on that one, I think. Brilliant. So let's try the second coffee nut. So round two is, and you'd heard of this before we came in.
Yes.
How have you heard of this? Before we tell everyone what it is.
Again, my friend Jake, who's big into coffee.
There we go. I think we need to get Jake on the show.
He'd be brilliant to get on here. I think it'd be great. Well, come on here.
We'll be doing five coffees.
Oh, we'd love it. Brilliant. Oh, my God, yeah.
So what are we drinking now?
So we're drinking Miss Tita, which is peace and coffee.
Now,
what do I call it?
I've recently recorded a couple of specials for the members only section of the site, which aren't on there yet because I've only just recorded them. And we've tried, I showed you, didn't I, in the kitchen, I showed you the Miss Tita Jamaican Blue Mountain pea berry, which is incredibly rare and £75 a tin.
Gold.
But it is gold, but it is amazing as well. And when I got it from Miss Tita and met one of the owners of the company, who hopefully is going to come on the podcast in the future, she gave me a bag of this as well to try, which she named Peace and Coffee, which is a lovely name.
It is, isn't it?
Let's give it a go.
Yeah. That's good.
It's good, isn't it? It's very different to the other coffee.
Isn't it? What a contrast.
But I'm still blown away by the fact that the other one was a Robusta and wasn't bitter as hell.
I'm enjoying that. That's nice.
It is nice. What does it remind you of anything? Does it kind of...
It's different, actually. I don't think I've ever tasted a coffee like that one.
No.
Not compared to the other Blue Mountain ones I've had.
Yeah, with a lot of the pour overs and stuff, they tend to be kind of fruity. It's a medium roast, and it's a Jamaican Blue Mountain, but it's a Jamaican Blue Mountain blend. Again, let's have a look at the blurb on the packet. The interesting thing about Miss Tita is that the coffee growers, the farmers, are relatives of the people who buy and roast the coffee in the UK. So you know the farmers are getting a good deal because it's their family who are sending the coffee over. So does this have any tasting notes? No, not really. It just talks about Miss Tita being the grandmother. It says, there we go, there are notes. A relaxing coffee with notes of rich milk chocolate, hints of roasted almonds, vanilla and orange. I can definitely get some kind of almonds. It's kind of got a kind of woodiness. Slightly as well.
It's nice that the
chocolate, which all Jamaican Blue Mountain has. Yeah,
it's not as bitter, is it?
No.
Yeah, it's nice that both the coffees are so different.
I always think bitter as well is a really controversial term with coffee, because particularly like if you get people who aren't coffee drinkers and you say it's not as bitter as that. When people start associating the word bitter with coffee,
it's
can put them off. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not. It's
And yet it's not bitter, but it's difficult to describe that kind of rich, heavy kind of... I guess the closest thing would be like dark chocolate flavour, you know. But it is... It's like try and describe tastes, try and describe smells, try and describe sounds. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really difficult.
And every person's
going to
find that flavour different to them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping in the future that we can put this episode out with a scratch and sniff card, and
can you imagine that?
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
I love smelling coffee.
That'd be great. So, what would you give this one out of 10?
I like using a 7 system.
Explain a 7
because,
system.
Because it's not me who's come up with this,
right?
But there's a doctor on Instagram called Dr. Mike II,
okay.
And he loves using the 7 system. Because the idea is you can't go halfway.
Right, okay.
You've got to go over or under. Whereas 10, you can say a 5.
Okay.
So that's it. You can either say 3 or you're going to say 4.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So what are you going for out of a 7? We'll go with a 7.
So with the peace and coffee,
yeah,
I prefer things more bitter.
Okay.
So for me, this would be a 4.
Okay.
It's still lovely.
That's
cool. Enjoyable. It's smooth. And then contact's always a 7. It's still my favourite.
There you go. Brilliant. Well, I'll put the link to both of those coffees in the blurb so you can have a look and make a decision for yourself. And I'll also put a link to Dr. Matt II because that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So, sounds like he's got some good ideas about systems there.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's lovely. So you were saying that they've got some other coffees in the range?
Yes, and they all varied how the flavours are. This is my favourite one out of the bunch. And they've all got names associated with the army.
Nice.
So this one's called Red On.
Yeah.
And you've got some that's called, I think it's Night Ops. I can't remember the one's top of my head, but if you went on the site, you can see all the
names. Oh, I've
got
to try Night Ops. That
very
sounds
cool.
Very cool.
But Red On, top of my head, I think this is right. I asked Jake what it meant. He says when on the planes and they're about to jump out to parachute out, they have a light system when to go. And when the red on's on, they're getting ready to jump out the plane, basically.
Nice,
so
nice.
So I think that's pretty cool that they've gone
that
down
is
that
very
route.
Cool, actually.
Yeah.
That is very cool. That makes you, that evokes kind of thoughts of like Top Gun music and things playing
exactly.
in the background and that kind of thing. Talking of which, there's a link. You say that caffeine is a great motivator and a great thing. Top workout tunes. What are your ultimate workout tunes? What do you like to exercise to?
You're going to love this because I'm so varied.
Oh, brilliant.
So if I'm lifting on my own, lifting weights, I like metal. When I say metal, I mean Disturbed. Gotta go old school, more Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
Or Metallica.
Nice.
I'm also into punk, though. So,
okay.
You know, like Fall Out Boy, Green Day. So
nice.
I'm into that as well.
Nice.
But then, if I want a bit of cheese, it's sunny and that, I'll have dance on and that. But even for example, like my first live concert I went to see was Incubus, who are a famous band in America.
I love Incubus. Amazing.
That's cool because not many people know about it.
They were
a fantastic live. But then I went to see Step.
Is it Morning View, the big album of theirs? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I can go from that to Steps. Who I'm seeing live again this year. That's how varied my taste is
that's
in music.
Fine.
But if it's...
From Disturbed to Steps in work.
I just got a varied taste. Like when I used to do Muay Thai boxing,
when
I was from the age of 12 till I was about 17, 18, we used to walk skipping with the weighted ropes.
Fantastic.
And you'd put on like trance music, like proper 90s trance.
Nice.
So the rhythm, the music.
Oh, brilliant.
So all things like Entrance, Darude. So that's why I'm probably very varied. And then the family I've been brought up with, they're somewhere into like the big 80s, like Spandau Ballet. My granddad's into like Shania Twain and Annie Lennox. So I'm so
brilliant.
Varied. Depends
very
on my
eclectic.
Mood.
Very eclectic, yeah.
Yeah, I think
that's brilliant.
Yeah,
and do you have a particular calm down, like when you've finished exercising, a particular kind of
chill
out song?
So for me, anything like folky or indie, like Mumford and Sons.
Yeah.
There's one song I'm addicted to at the moment for chilling out to. I think it's Willow and it's called Meet Me at Your Spot.
I don't know this.
You need to listen to it. It's a nice chill out one.
Nice.
But yeah, anything folky. But actually, when I'm chilling at home, I like listening to Lord of the Rings soundtrack. So again, that's how.
I love soundtracks, actually. I'm an avid vinyl collector. And I really seek out soundtracks and got some weird obscure ones that I like, but one of my recent purchases as one of my favourite was the score to Chernobyl.
Seems really
weird, but it's just because it's cool because it's like Geiger counter sounds mixed with orchestras mixed with, you know, I can't remember the lady, the composer, but she's amazing.
Oh, it's a female composer.
Female composer.
That's
Russian
cool.
Female composer.
Oh, wow.
Can't think of her name.
It's probably it's annoying, can't pronounce
but I'll put it. But I'll put a link. I won't be able to pronounce it, but I'll definitely put a link to that soundtrack in the blurb because it's amazing. But yeah, I love soundtracks. I'm always seeking them out.
Sets the mood, I think.
Yeah, when it's Record Store Day, I'm always like, "What soundtracks have you got?" I'll get the soundtracks first. Chasing things online. There's a couple of unusual ones I've got.
They're great for walking to, by the way, or running. So in lockdown, I took up running because I couldn't do kickboxing.
Okay.
So I'd think of things like Lord of the Rings when they're like trying to get the soundtrack for when they're.
It's hard to do kickboxing at 2 meters, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, to be fair. But yeah, I'd listen to like soundtracks based on stuff to do with being chased from soundtracks.
Okay.
So Lord of the Rings, for example, when they have to get their hobbit to have been taken to Isengard.
Yeah.
So that soundtrack, or when they get to Rohan,
brilliant,
it's a great score. Yeah.
I quite like, and this is a guilty pleasure, but I quite like soundtracks to video games as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on
that. I love Battlefield and I'm trying to think, like all the indie games and stuff. I've got Hue, which was a massive indie game. I've got that on vinyl and multicolored vinyl. And I just love game soundtracks. So Last Day of June, which I wasn't massively into, but my girlfriend played to death.
Yeah,
and stuff. So love that kind of stuff. And as well as soundtracks, I believe when you're walking and stuff, you do kind of like listening to podcasts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything in particular you'd recommend?
Well, if you're into health and fitness, I mean, I do my own podcasts.
Yeah. So, tell us about that. Well, I didn't know about that. Yeah. Tell me all about that.
So if you search on Outcast or Anchor or Spotify or Apple, it's the NAG Personal Trainer Podcast. No one else has got that.
Brilliant.
Name.
I will be adding that later.
But yeah, it's anything from health and fitness, from especially, I'll be honest, I do go towards female fitness because the thing with females is, studies are really hard to do on females, whereas no offense to guys, but your hormones are level.
Yeah.
So for females, it's uneven.
Yeah.
So I tried to talk a bit more about that. There's a lot of backlash for like women wanting to do weight training, saying you're going to get big and all that, or women shouldn't do this and that.
Yeah.
So I do go into a bit more to try and encourage women to go and lift weights.
Forget the gender, do what you want to do.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah. You know, when I was brought up, the men in my family were fantastic. So my dad and my stepdad, they're not gay dads, by the way. Mum and dad's separate. I see them both and I call them both dads.
Gotcha.
It's an inside joke among my friends. So they encouraged me to play football. They encouraged me to do martial arts. Whatever
Brilliant.
I wanted to do, they
Brilliant.
Encouraged me.
Excellent.
And I want that for women, but also equally men.
Yeah.
But women need to understand they can do whatever they want.
And you were saying off air before we started that you get a lot of inquiries from prenatal and postnatal as well.
Starting to now, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, a lady contacted me recently and said there's just hardly anything around. Mm. And as being a personal trainer,
I would imagine that presents its own challenges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just knowing what they can and can't do. They want that reassurance,
which
I think that's like anybody coming to a coach.
Yeah.
And it gave me the push to do my pre and postnatal finally.
Brilliant.
I've been needing to do it for years.
So there's a separate qualification for doing that, obviously,
it's
for
more
safety
just
the reasons.
Knowledge than anything. Because personal training, you can take them on, but it just gives you that bit more.
Yeah.
And a bit of empathy, because I'm not going to have kids, so I've not gone through that.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to at least understand what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can empathize with what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I love kids, but I love to give them back.
Yeah,
at the
exactly.
End of
I've got nephews, and I've got one on the way. So you know, I'm happy to do all the fun stuff with and be the fun auntie, and then leave them to it.
Yeah, I've got a niece, and my sister, I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, is currently adopting. So going to be another one in the pipeline.
That's cool.
There. So this is a great question. I love this question. You're going to love this one. We've talked about podcasts and we've talked about coffee, and now I have to bring you on to best sporting montage in a film.
Oh, God, that's hard. Have you done that to me?
Blame Kelly, because she wrote that one down. She was like, best sporting montage.
It's got to be Rocky IV.
Rocky IV? I'm so pleased you said that.
And I love the soundtrack.
You're going to laugh, but I'm so pleased you said that because Kelly said, I bet she says Rocky IV.
Oh, very specific as well. Not just Rocky, it's Rocky IV.
Rocky IV.
It's a nice long score as well.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But I actually play that in my kickbox exercise sometimes
Brilliant.
When I teach.
Yeah, it was a great piece of music as well, but it's just a great sequence, great montage.
Great for pre-workout. If you're walking the gym, put that on when you're walking the gym or driving on loud.
She'll be so pleased later when I talk to her and tell her that's what
it's
you said.
It's my favourite one of all the Rockies.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that's the Dolph Lundgren, is it?
Yeah. If he dies, he dies. I love how you predicted that. My mate Kate, who I work with, she's going to be laughing about it because that's also her favourite who I work with. So, yeah.
So what were the challenges of starting up your business during lockdown, which is what happened to you, wasn't it? It's like you decided to break away from working for the centre and work for yourself a little bit, and then lockdown happened. So what kind of challenges did that present and how did you overcome that?
I'm very lucky because Stone's a fantastic community.
Oh,
so I already
isn't
it? I already had a great following. The clients are very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
So I already had a year of building up, but also I've been at Westbridge Park for 7 years.
Yep.
So a lot of them knew me already. You built that rapport with them. Like, you know, you knew everything. You knew the kids were, the dog was, the cats.
Brilliant.
Whatever's going on in their life. And they know my life as well.
Yeah.
But when that happened, I'm not going to lie, that first week, and a lot of my clients know this, I was stressed to fuck. I've never felt that stress. Thinking back, I'm a bit weird. I love being in that situation a little bit because I like to see,
can I pull myself out of this?
Yeah. You know, I've got literally change everything I do. Mm. We all had to learn how to go on Zoom, which is hilarious.
The stress is like a horrible peak, but when you get over that peak and you see the solution, that is such an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing, like, to figure out what to do. So some of them converted to online personal training instead.
Yeah.
Some did. We used Zoom and actually coached through Zoom.
Fantastic.
It's a bit tricky at first, as we all knew Zoom was shit at first. And then
they
got a shitload of money off us. So fair play. They upped their game and it worked so well. So a lot of my clients, they updated their internet. They had made some amazing home gyms.
Wow.
And I was literally just in one of my spare rooms.
Yeah.
Coaching from there, as if I'm there in person.
Yeah.
It was a bit tricky at first, but we made it work.
Yeah.
But it opened other doors for me to do my nutrition consultancy course.
Yeah.
As a personal trainer, you are nutrition trained, but I wanted to advance it a little bit more.
Right, okay.
Because on a personal trainer course, there's a lot to learn, and it's up to you to go and carry on learning. So I took the opportunity to do a course.
Yeah, of course, you've got to keep developing your learning and your continuing professional development.
Yeah.
Once you qualify, that's just the start of the road. It's
absolutely
not the end of the road. Yeah.
So I just saw it as an opportunity, and I was working 40, 50 hours a week before lockdown.
Wow.
And as most PTs will burn out, because I wanted to do as many hours on the gym floor as possible and help as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And I think I wouldn't have lasted if I did that.
No.
So it gave me an opportunity to change the way I work.
And you prefer working for yourself, definitely.
I most definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. I'm glad it's worked out for you.
Thank you.
That's brilliant.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Climb to fame. It's your chance to drop a name. Trying to outdo each other's kind of line. One-upmanship is the only aim. Claim to fame, claim to fame, claim to fame.
Claim to fame, this bit's always contentious and popular. So do you have a claim to fame, Nat?
Do I know?
Could be a very long section if you don't. So, I mean.
I know, yeah. Claim to fame. Oh, well, I'll tell you something the other day. So
go on.
With podcasts, for example, mm-hmm. I had someone inquire with me.
Yeah.
Because he listened to my podcast.
Nice.
They literally said, some people have Alexas and there's Echo Dots in the house.
Oh, yeah.
She asked Suri, says, can you play a podcast for women
weightlifting? That's awesome when you're coming up on those computerized
she's
searches.
You've
hit the algorithm somewhere.
I know. Yeah. There was two people last week, and I said to my business partners, Kate and Meg, and I was like, someone's just inquired through my podcasting. I've never had this.
Awesome.
You know, because I didn't think that could happen.
Yeah.
So she didn't search for me through Instagram or Facebook.
Brilliant.
It was just, she searched on a social station. You came up on top, she basically said.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, it really made me smile.
Nice. I found with exercise in particular, because I really like mountain biking, really into it. But when I haven't done it for a while, the first day you go out is absolutely knackering. And the second day, you really don't want to do it. You're like, I was so knackered yesterday, I don't want to do it. And the second day you go out, and it's just as knackering, to be honest. But it's the third day when you go out that you start feeling the benefit. Have you found that?
That, because this is what I say to clients, your first session or your first whatever it is you want to do will not be your best. You won't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you keep going and the more your body gets used to it, the more enjoyable it becomes.
Yeah.
And that's the same with anything, whether it's sport, weightlifting. For example, I started taking up paddleboarding.
Oh, nice.
And my first session, it was okay. I didn't fall in, actually.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was knackering, it was tiring. And then after going for about, been doing it for about a year now, absolutely love it. Don't hurt after. Yeah. I'm ballsy about trying different tricks, like going to the front of my board, letting the board flip up or stepping back and turning.
So tell us about paddleboarding, because I know very little about it. What's involved?
Yeah. It's basically a big flotational board, like a surfboard.
Okay.
They come in different various sizes.
Right.
So we trialled at, where was the first place? Chasewater near Brown Hills.
Yeah.
So we were
I know
there.
Chasewater. Yeah. I did my skipper certificate there when I was 14.
How many
Thank
years
you.
Ago was that?
Thank you very much. That was a least 10 years
At
ago.
At least, yes. So, yeah, and you can do it standing up or kneeling. It requires quite a lot of core strength, actually, because a lot of people tend to use their arms. But
oh, right, okay.
But now we've picked up the technique.
Yeah, it's your body, isn't it? And your balance
a lot of
and
it.
That.
Yeah.
And it's bloody cold at Chasewater as well.
It is, actually, yeah. Titsworth's warm, because I go to Titsworth a lot, and that's the peak.
Do you wear a wetsuit or a dry suit? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've just brought one, actually. It turns out I brought quite a thick one, a 4.3.
Oh, well, that's all right. Yeah,
for this country, it's pretty all right.
It's good.
And
it's
I finally
good.
Got my own paddleboard.
You could go deep sea diving with one of those.
I go that's what my mate said. So,
it's like leather.
Yeah. So we've got all our own paddleboards now because we've got that much into it so we can self-launch. So as of tomorrow, all three of us are going to break our boards into the water for the first time.
Very nice.
Yeah, so
very
we're excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Nice. So how did you get into that? What started you on that mad exercise?
Yeah, it's actually not strenuous once you get into it. Your first session is your legs shake like hell because your legs are trembling from trying to balance.
Yeah,
especially at Chasewater because you've got the wakeboarding on, so there's a lot of waves. You're best starting on still water.
Yeah,
but my friend, she had a friend who was into and got his own board and basically said, "Do you want to come with us to Chasewater?" So we went and
tried anything once.
Anything active. And we loved it. So then we've been different places since then.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you was a new category that we came up with. What would be your ultimate podcast? Who would be your ultimate podcast, either guest or pairing or whatever, if you know you could go to any time and place?
Yeah. I'd love to have Dwayne Johnson on. He's so cool.
Brilliant.
And I just love his work ethic.
Just you and Dwayne Johnson? Just you and Dwayne Johnson.
Just sit there eating pancakes while we're chatting
working
away.
Out.
You could bring his gym because he travels with his gym around the
That'd
world.
That'd be awesome.
So we could work out, come on the podcast, have a break, come back.
Yeah, little but, tie clip mics and you're like...
But yeah, he's so cool because he's come from nothing and I feel like I've came from nothing. We didn't have a lot. We had a great childhood and everything, but I understand we didn't have a lot of money at one point as well.
Sure.
And he's come from that background, so he knows that. Yeah. He always reminds himself of that. But I just love how hard he works. But he's got good humour as well. But I can imagine having a great time, having a good chat with him, and the stories he'd probably tell, especially from his wrestling days.
Yeah,
and then going into his acting and the training and how he does it.
It's been a long career, hasn't it?
But yeah, I think he'd be very interesting.
Very motivational. Yeah.
Well, I know female role models growing up, like into fitness, really. So all mine are male role models.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up now, there's plenty. You know, there's a lot more female role models, especially the athletics as well.
Come on, you have the gladiators.
I love the gladiators. But you do know I'm gay, don't you? So I probably looked at it a different way.
Yeah, well,
You know, but again, like for me as a female, a lot of people think, I don't know, I wanted to look like Kate Moss or Victoria Beckham, but I did not. I was massively into anime.
Yeah.
One of my first anime.
I love anime.
Yeah, my favourite one ever is Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, fantastic.
So
instead
of thinking, I want to look like her, unless I'm like, I want muscles. I actually wanted muscles. I loved the
brilliant.
Idea. Didn't care what men fake, didn't care what females thought.
No, absolutely.
So when I got into doing, when I found out Thai boxing was local to me, I straight away got into it.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. So I'd watch brilliant. Dragon Ball Z episode and then go and
nice.
Train it. And the women there were phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't typical skinny women. They were strong. They could kick your ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great example. So, so I started to see a few more females and thinking as in female role models.
Brilliant.
And there was one there. She was amazing. She used to fight a lot. And she was so cool. She rode motorbikes.
Brilliant.
She was into rock music and she was one of the strongest person there.
Yeah, you must be really pleased about the rise of women's football
in
that then because a lot more positive female stereo role.
It's kind of always been an opportunity, but it depends where you were. So for me, I loved football growing up. My dad got me into it. I was a big Stoke fan growing up.
Yeah,
I don't watch football.
But it's never been as prevalent on the TV as it is now. You know, it was always been pushed to one side, and then we just won the World Cup. And then, hello.
Yeah. But it makes me wonder if I was playing now, would I have got a different... Because I actually loved the idea of playing football for a living when I was younger. Yeah, I said to my dad, I want to be a footballer. He's like,
my niece just got into it, actually, and she's doing really well. She's really going for it. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. But the opportunity wasn't there for me. So primary school was, when I was younger, even the male teachers were very encouraging of women, girls and boys playing together.
Yeah.
And I loved it. So I'd have guys picking me for the team.
Brilliant.
Because they loved me even in defence, or they liked me on the wing.
Yeah.
Because I was good at hitting with my left or right foot. So. Yeah,
nice.
But high school...
I was terrible. I was always like, you can go in goal, Granger.
Use the reach. But high school was... It was mad how this is. I hope this has changed. But so my first year in high school, I was in year 7, I was 12.
Yeah.
They had no under 14 football team.
Really?
But the teacher let me play for the 14-year-olds.
Right.
The height I am now was the height I was at 12. So I could pull it off. I stopped growing then.
Yeah.
And the girls loved me on the team. So I'd play for them. But then she had other duties, like teachers do. They have such demand.
Sure, sure.
And the male teacher wouldn't take it. He basically told my sister that girls shouldn't play football. My sister told him where to go and got punished for it.
Yeah.
But the irony there, my sister was a really good football player as well growing
up. Brilliant.
But it makes you wonder.
Does she still play?
Nah, not anymore. It's a shame because she was good.
Yeah. Brilliant. So have you ever thought of going back into coaching it?
No, because I've gone back to kickboxing.
Right.
So when I left Muay Thai boxing, it was a 10-year gap. And then when I moved to Stone, I found out there was a martial art club nearby, and I kept thinking about it. I was just getting into the gym.
Yeah.
Because when I was a fitness instructor, I actually didn't use the gym that much.
Right.
I used to do bouldering, or I'd go running, or train at home.
Yeah.
Or still practiced my martial arts on my own.
Yeah.
And then one day, I think I'd been Mexico on holiday actually about 5-6 years ago.
Nice.
And I was mucking about in the room while my missus was in the shower practicing some Muay Thai, and I was like, I need to go back.
Yeah.
Because mentally,
I
started to realise I appreciate how much Muay Thai boxing helped me mentally for my confidence and managing stress as well, and discipline.
I was going to say, is it a very disciplined, because kind of all those sort of Eastern sports, to put them in a category, they're all very, to everything from kind of Tai Chi upwards, everything is incredibly disciplined.
I mean, any sport is, whether it's football, I think martial arts particularly, because it's all about, it's not, you've got to respect the club, you respect each other, because you are trusting somebody else to hit you in the face and kick you, and they're trusting you to not... Well, let's say if I throw a high kick to someone when I'm sparring, it's not 100% power. They trust I'm not going to do that.
Of course.
And learning to respect that.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm the only girl who goes the club I go at the moment, and I respect them. The men could knock the crap out of me because I'm only 5'5", and I'm about 55k.
Yeah.
And they're all, apart from the one guy I spar with, but the advantage, again, even though I'm female, I have to respect that. Men have got a bit more power.
Yeah.
That's why men and women shouldn't be fighting in boxing rings, like professionally. Sparring's fine, interclubbing I've done it, but it's dangerous. We're not there yet.
Yeah,
we're quite far off. I'm not saying a woman can't beat a bloke, but trained fighters is different.
Yeah,
different.
I wouldn't stand a chance. I'm terrible.
Yeah. So the guys, to be fair, some of them are 6 foot tall, I spar.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're so respectful. It's a shame. I wish it was like that in gyms for women to be able to go in and think... They're not going to think a man or a woman is going to judge them. In martial art clubs, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Because you can't come in and be an alpha. You can't come in and show off because you'd get knocked on your ass.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
So the men, I've never had issues with men in martial arts clubs.
Yeah.
It's always been very cool, very respectful. And vice versa, I'm respectful to them.
Brilliant.
And I try to push that when I go into gyms.
Yeah, absolutely.
And explain to women, sometimes most guys actually think it's pretty cool seeing women lift weights.
Yeah.
But I get they feel self-conscious going in. Yeah. As well about it.
Do you watch Who Do You Think You Are on the BBC?
I've seen it now and again.
Have you seen the Sue Perkins one?
No, not seen that one.
It's well worth watching because I didn't realise she was a boxer in her spare time.
No way.
Yeah, you need to watch it.
That's really cool. I didn't know that about her.
I didn't either. Until
wouldn't think it, would
it's
you?
Like she went up in my... I already loved her anyway.
Yeah,
but
I do.
She
like
went
to,
massively up in my estimation when I saw that. You need to watch it. It's on iPlayer. It's brilliant.
That is a cool fact.
And she's really good as well. She's really, really good.
Don't underestimate anybody, yeah. Do you? Just shows you, you don't have to look a certain
but
way.
But it's a great episode, and it's also a great story because I won't spoil the ending,
yeah,
but,
I won't watch
but
that.
There's an amazing set of events.
Cool.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's yeah, so awesome.
That. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like her anyway, but God, yeah.
She's
that's...
very cool. Yeah, she's one of my favourite presenters, wow. to be
wow,
fair.
Wow, that
yeah.
is wicked.
Yeah. Boxers or pants?
Pants.
Oh, okay. You see, when you said you're into sports and stuff, I thought yeah. you'd be a boxers person, but...
pants. No, because, you know, you get a bit sweaty in boxers. You need yeah. to be, you know, you got to...
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Thai boxers? So yeah. when they've got the shorts on, they're very high up.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a weird habit. I used to do it as well because yeah. it's quite high on the waist. It's thick,
yeah.
like the like a boxer's
yeah.
shorts, but they're
yeah.
a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
We have a habit of pulling them up higher so we can kick higher.
Oh, nice.
Because
okay.
they're in the way. Just psychologically, if I could throw a high kick higher, they'd pull them up tighter.
Oh,
so, you know, it's more practical.
Oh, well done for challenging my expectations there because I thought you were going to say boxers. My girlfriend likes the boxers because she wears the oddballs ones. I
yeah.
don't know
oh,
if you've seen
cool.
those.
Yeah.
They are incredibly cool.
Love the design.
But they're probably not the best for if you need unrestricted yeah. movement
well,
kind of
thing.
Well,
we always joke about women wearing leggings. Like, I could always high kick you in the head if I always wear leggings.
Yeah. I'll remember that.
Yeah. Don't we need to warm up then?
So I'm just listening to your accent. Where are you originally? Because you're not from Stone originally,
no.
are you? But for anyone who's listening, because we have got some listeners in New Zealand, weirdly, you want to tell people whereabouts you're from?
So I'm from Stoke-on-Trent, and I'm originally from a town called Tunstall.
Tunstall. I know it well.
Yeah, so I do say cook and book because that's how you say it.
Cook and book.
Yeah,
so yeah.
yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's cook and book for anyone listening in America.
Oh, so yeah, I'll say, you know, like Paul likes to pour a glass of milk.
Yeah.
So I'll say that, but if you're ill, I'll say pooer. Have you ever heard that instead?
That's okay, yeah. yeah
and poo,
yeah.
and pooley.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Yeah, pooley rather than poo. Yeah, I think because I'm originally from Warsaw, but I didn't really grow up there. I mean, I've got no room to talk because I think we probably say poolie as well. Or
I think you do actually.
Yeah,
I've heard someone
I
else
think
from
so.
That way. So
yeah, I mean, there's weird things with the Warsaw accent and weird pronunciations like certificate. They don't say certificate. They
do
say certificate. I know it's weird, and there's other ones as well.
I love that.
Yeah, for years at school, I was mispronouncing that. And it wasn't until a teacher corrected me that I realised that, that's not the received pronunciation for
Brilliant.
Certificates. So, I mean, who inspires you as a fitness freak?
Well, like I said, back when I was growing up, there wasn't many females to look up to. But as I got older, definitely Kelly Holmes.
Oh, awesome. She's yeah. amazing. Amazing.
If you're not following her, follow her Instagram. I can't remember if it's alpacas or... what's the other one? Llamas. I don't know which
yeah.
one's which. I always forget.
Yes.
She has pets of them.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, yeah.
That's a bit... You can't have a flap in the back door for that, can you?
Can you imagine that? Hello. This long head comes in.
It's just coming through the alpaca flap. Yeah.
Cat flap, alpaca flap. Next to each other.
Next to each other. Yeah.
But yeah, she's incredible. I mean, as some of you, if you don't know already, she came out gay this year. Like, came out like publicly about it.
I didn't actually, no.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if she was or wasn't before, if I'm
yeah.
dead honest.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't judge her by its cover.
Well, it's not something you think of when
no,
you look at
look
people.
No, you don't look at
someone
and go, oh, you're
gay.
Go,
yeah,
no, no.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like if people see me and my missus, we're not stereotypical looking.
Right.
So my missus is very good. I feel like I'm punching.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're always... lads will stop and try asking how much she's with me. They're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And you're like, no, really, she is. But yeah, Kelly Holmes is amazing. Bless. I mean, she came from the... She had to compete while in the army.
Yeah.
And they weren't paid... I mean, as a lot of people know, when they went to the Olympics back then, before we did it in England, they were
yeah.
not paid very well.
Right.
Like, people were selling their medals to get back home.
Oh, it's, shit.
And because of that... That's one good thing Tony Blair did. He pumped money into the... Yeah. Was it 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012 yeah. Olympics. And because of that, we smashed it. The funding was put out, and
I
she was involved in
yeah.
on that. And,
yeah.
you know, had a great year doing that. Yeah. And... I just think she's amazing. She was able to leave the army, but
yeah.
fair play. She trained in the army, which is physical anyway.
Yeah.
Because I know her role was physical. She was a PT. in the army as well.
Yeah.
So she'd be training all the lads in the infantry and the women in the other areas. So I think she's very incredible and very brave doing that, because in the army it was illegal to be gay, which I know sounds mad, doesn't it? But it was.
It's insane, isn't it?
It's only recently it's now legal. So that's why she had to keep it quiet for so long, because it wasn't so much about the public. It was her role.
Yeah.
You know, and that's understandable. That was her main career at the time. And and now she can come out and you can tell it's like a weight's lifted off her shoulders. But exactly. No, she's awesome. And if you're watching the Commonwealth Games at the moment, you want proper inspo for the women, you know, watch the Olympic lifting. It's it's nuts. I watched it back on BBC iPlayer the other day, and it's just incredible seeing some of these women lift.
Lifting twice my weight. Yeah.
Well, one thing I thought of though. So the, I think it was a 75 or a 79 kilogram class for women.
Right.
And there's a Disney film that came out last year called Encanto. And then there's a
character. I don't know
you
that.
You need to watch this, And it's based on a family, and one of them's called Louisa, who's built like a weightlifting female.
Right.
And I think, I didn't know this, someone told me, it's a true fact, someone wrote and said, no one looks like me in this Disney film. So they based it on her, and they thought her doll wasn't going to sell well. They thought it was the girly sister.
Yeah.
Her doll sold the most because little girls want that.
Because it's a realistic figure.
It's at the Commonwealth Games. I was like, this is what they look like. They look like Louisa from Encanto. I'm hoping little girls will look at this and go, you don't have to look this way or that way to be female.
Well, we've certainly gone in some directions I didn't think we were going to go in today. Let's finish with food, because someone tells me you're actually, for PT, you're actually a very good baker as well.
I'd say I'm not bad.
Not ready for the bake-off yet.
People keep telling me to go on, but I think they just want to be entertained by my reactions on there. There'd be a lot of swearing anyway.
So what, because I bake bread, what kind of things do you, what kind of things do you do?
I have done bread. My first bread bake was like a Chelsea bubble. I made my own filling. So I created like an apple pie filling. So I do like to, with baking, you can't always wing it. Everyone's got to be spot on.
Cinnamon the apple pie?
Oh, anything with cinnamon in.
Yeah.
Anything with cinnamon. Absolutely. I'm a big cinnamon fan.
Yeah, cinnamon swirls from Morrison's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Well, I get clients who start with me and they're like, you're PT, why are you baking? Isn't that bad for you? I'm like, look.
Everything in moderation.
Exactly. Yeah. Food's a spectrum. It's not black and white. Yeah. It's not good and bad.
No,
it's
absolutely.
A spectrum. And you can enjoy cake here and there. You know?
Absolutely.
My first live, by the way, when I was on Facebook, was called Eat the Fucking Cake. A lot of my clients who are listening to this will remember that.
Brilliant.
If I ever find it, I'll have to try extract the audio and put it out as an audio.
Brilliant.
It's hilarious. It was just to do with like, people tend to try and restrict and think that's going to work. I'm like, well, if you're going to cut cake out your life or alcohol, any of your favourite foods, what are you going to do when you lose the weight?
Yeah.
Are you going to go back and eat it, aren't you? You know, it's like when people go, I want to go teetotal of alcohol to just lose the weight, and go, but do you want to give up drinking completely? And they're like, no, I would go back. So, well, let's work a way to keep it in your diet.
Yeah.
And still get results.
This is the thing that drives me absolutely mad about the word diet. Because diet has been misused to be a thing that you go on. Your diet is what you eat every day and what you do
every
day.
Yeah, you already have one.
Yeah, and it's shouldn't be a thing you hop on and hop off. It should be a lifestyle change.
Absolutely.
And something you're going to keep up for the rest of your life. So don't cut out this and cut out that, because that's unrealistic that you're going to do that
it's
for
like
the rest of your life.
What tweaks can you make? What compromises?
Exactly.
So when clients come to, they're very shocked when I say, I'll be quitting carbs. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're exercising. So it'll be like, we make tweaks and compromise. Like the other thing where people say, oh, you bake that, don't you eat all the cake? I'm like, of course I give it out.
I said,
but I can eat a slice and leave it. I'm okay with that. And I get some people aren't.
That's my downfall. Yeah. I struggle.
I understand that,
So
I would say cut
Have
it up,
cake will finish.
Divide it up and go and take it somewhere. Because I like other people actually enjoy my baking.
Yeah.
So the reason I got into baking, one of my first mentors, she's also my client, she said, you need another hobby away from fitness now.
Right.
Because I was into anything to do with activity.
Sure.
There's a PT, that's quite hard choosing a hobby, actually.
Yeah.
So it was either going to be, I go back to story writing, because I used to love creative writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I even wrote my own book when I was like 13.
Brilliant. that's great.
It's all sci-fi style. Yeah.
Oh, tell me more. Let's go down that hole for a minute.
What did I call it now? It was Blade something. And I can't remember what it's called now.
Well, based on Blade Runner or something?
This is really bad. I need to watch it. I have not seen Blade Runner. And I know I'm a sci-fi geek and I need to watch it.
Yeah.
I know. I'm pretty disgusted with myself too, don't worry. Like, you know, Star Wars, Matrix, all that, I've watched it. Even Star Trek, old and new, I've watched it.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, Blade Runner's
Blade
list.
Runner is something else.
Yeah, I want
like
to see the old
proper traditional.
Yeah, I need to see the old one first and see the new one, which is what I did with Dune. I watched the old one, then watched the new one.
The voiceover in the old one is a bit, you can see where they made a director's version, but you have to watch the theatrical release as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so creative writing then, yeah. So you, I mean, I used to write science fiction as a kid as well, because my dad got me into science fiction. It was the War of the Worlds musical record when I was about 7 or 8. And then we started watching science fiction and on a Monday night watched Silent Running and all kind of stuff like that. Can you remember what your story was about?
Right, so I've just remembered the title, actually. So it was called The Blade Gift.
Oh.
And as we all do, we're a bit vain as writers. You tend to write, the character's a bit on you, the main lead. And it's a bit like those who are into anime, Dragon Ball Z, or Superman.
Yeah.
You know, she ends up getting flown to Earth to be protected for the planet was being taken over.
Nice.
By, say, the bad guy in the story.
I mean, not nice that a planet was taken over, but nice storyline. Yeah.
So she doesn't know. She thinks she's human because you look like humans, right, just like Superman does in a way.
Yeah.
And she gets brought up by a so-called auntie. Not, he's actually friends with her mother who flew to Earth because she used to visit Earth quite a lot.
Right.
But then these powers start to kick in. She's able basically like call a blade from within her.
Yeah.
And it comes out like a spirit and ends up forming solid and she can use it. It has elements with it. So hers is like lightning and like a bit like lightsabers in Star Wars. So they represent different colours, personalities, different powers.
Wow.
It turns out she's got a twin brother as well who was also flown, but because he found out the bad guy that she was there, he got kidnapped as a baby and they didn't know if he was alive actually. And he ends up coming to Earth as well, like also in a high school.
Yeah.
And they're both suspicious of each other. And he's out there. He's been conditioned to kill her. But he starts finding out the truth and stuff. And they end up having a showdown.
That sounds a very well thought out and developed story for a 14-year-old. Yeah, brilliant.
A lot of Star Wars and anime influence.
So do you still do the creative writing? Or?
Not so much anymore. Yeah. As an adult, you know, I'll be honest, you do lose creativity as an adult. And this is I try to say to a lot of my clients about having a hobby, actually. Yeah. I know it sounds bizarre what's that to do with fitness, but again, like the snacking thing or the pleasure thing, food is our closest pleasure.
Yep.
As humans, we are designed to propagate and to stay alive, which is basically food is our biggest drive and sex is our biggest drive, believe it or not. And that's why people feel guilty about loving food. It's built in you to love it because it doesn't want you to die, your body.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to, in this modern world, I mean, we're very lucky in this country. We're not starving.
No. Nope.
Hopefully it doesn't happen. And, you know, but the food's abundant. But technology's moved on very fast, but we haven't as an evolution. We're still a bit behind.
Yeah.
So we need to train our minds differently. So that's why I say to clients, why you get into gaming or into reading or for other clients, go into an active hobby or even into baking if they're okay doing that. And that's why I'm into my baking. That's my switch off time away from fitness. So I still love my business. I still love being into fitness because everything was fitness based. I think I would lose a love for it.
Yeah.
And when you're, say, trying to lose body fat and diet, it's not something you want to do forever. It's not 100% enjoyable, but you can make it a bit more enjoyable by including something else that gives you purpose.
Yeah.
Because when you're happier, you make better decisions.
Yeah.
And clients that realise what a domino effect that has.
Yeah.
As a PT, we're no longer just about eat this and work out this much and do this many steps. It's like, how does this person tick? How can I help them to convince them to do this and this for the long term?
Yeah. Nat, it's been an absolute pleasure. You've taken me to areas of conversation that I thought I would not talk about, fitness and sport and health and stuff, but Dave gave you such a massive good review that I thought I've got to have you on, and he said you're such a laugh, and he wasn't wrong. So thanks very much for coming on. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you'll come on again at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me on as
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for listening if you're listening. Take care. Thanks a lot, Nat. Cheers. Listening to A Couple of Drips. The show was conceived and presented by Chris Granger and is a Cup the Mic production.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, Chris here. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the production of future episodes, then subscriptions are available. Simply click on the support button in the episode description. See you next time.